Hi, this is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com. It's Friday, April 19th, 2024. Today's audio version is for the post Treating Piss and Long COVID. I write about COVID because COVID hurts. There is plenty of overlap between chronic pain and long COVID, which is just the most famous example of chronic health problems after an infection. Many cases of ME/CFS, chronic fatigue syndrome, and fibromyalgia, chronic widespread pain, probably started with some kind of infection. And we know specifically that people are at considerable risk of developing chronic pain after COVID, along with much else, which punctuates a major theme in the science of pain, that pain is mainly a function of physiological problems. Today, I'd like to pass on some science-based tips for long COVID, and other post-infection sequelae, the PIS in the title, cribbed from a particularly trusted source with many clarifying details, links, and an emphasis on the practical and the accessible. The NASA lean test and probiotics stand out here as particularly useful things to know about and not just for people with long COVID. Now, let's introduce my trusted source first. That would be Dr. Daniel Griffin, who has been doing his weekly clinical update on the This Week in Virology podcast since early in the pandemic. And I'm still listening for years now because it's good. I learn stuff almost every time I listen to it. The TWIV podcast and the affiliated virology blog have been excellent resources on this topic. They were championing the interests of patients with ME/CFS long before the pandemic, most notably hosting David Tuller's work, especially his tireless efforts to point out bad science, like the canonical example of the horrible PACE trial. And I'll now diverge from the text and say just a little bit more about that for the audio version here. So PACE was a terrible, misguided, perhaps fraudulent trial in the UK that showed allegedly that people with chronic fatigue syndrome just needed to exercise more, that they needed to pace themselves, graded exposure to exercise. And that's not true. That we know that that's not actually the case, that too much exercise can hurt those patients. And the same thing is true for long COVID. So the TWIV podcast is associated with David Tuller, who's done a lot of work on this, is really almost single-handedly responsible for exposing the horribleness of the PACE trial. In episode 1088 of TWIV, Dr. Griffin did a little mini-seminar on managing long COVID, and his approach to this topic is notably compassionate and rational. A lovely combination. This is a doctor who is well aware that medicine can do harm, even with reasonable ideas, if they're half-baked and not fully tested. Never mind the ones that turn out to be overt nonsense. Okay, so let's begin with long COVID diagnosis and the piss thing. So long COVID is made of piss, post-infection sequelae. Dr. Griffin uses this generic term to describe the long-term consequences of any infection, not just COVID. It's not a good acronym, though, he says. I beg to differ. Laughter is good medicine. So I will refer to piss patients for the rest of this post, and then I promise never again. Note that there is a very similar term. I don't think actually post-infection sequelae is a standard term. I mean, you can say it, the words have meaning, it's fine, but I think it's more common to refer to post-acute infection syndrome with the less silly acronym PAIS. Maybe they decided it was a good idea to have an A in there. A little typo correction there we go. So Dr. Griffin mentioned three conditions that can imitate long COVID, Lyme disease and post-Lyme syndrome, which is another member of the PIS family, adrenal or thyroid dysfunctions, and pituitary cancer. I guess that's technically four things. Just some examples off the top of his head, just to make the point that not everything that smells like piss is actually piss. We now have an official long COVID scoring system, if you want such a thing. You can take a questionnaire and find out just exactly how long COVID-y you are. But Dr. Griffin prefers to just form an impression of whether a patient fits the WHO definition of long COVID, which is, quote, the continuation or development of new symptoms 3 months after the initial infection, with these symptoms lasting for at least 2 months with no other explanation. And so that is obviously just the formal version of feeling crappy for way too long. Yeah, it's not an exact science. There are two clinical tests that are useful and quite accessible. First, blood oxygen saturation at rest versus activity. That is, your oxygen shouldn't drop sharply with activity. Oxygen saturation monitors are widely available. Those little things that clip onto your finger can tell you your blood oxygen in seconds. So it is pretty easy to check this for yourself. Second and more interesting, the NASA LEAN test, which checks for signs of postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, better known as and easier to say as POTS. That is one of the more common pissy glitches that probably drives many symptoms. And what is this NASA LEAN test? Well, it's a simple test that replaces the much more medical and inaccessible tilt table test for orthostatic intolerance, that is, intolerance of changes in position, big blood pressure shifts with changes in position. It's a good time to diverge for a story. When my wife was horribly injured in a car accident in 2010 in Laos and then went to hospital in Thailand, I rushed to be by her side for recovery and watched her go through rehab. And one of the most dramatic experiences that she had was the tilt table. After being very seriously injured and immobilized for weeks, it's hard to get up and moving again. And therapy started with putting her on a tilt table and just tilting her a little bit up from lying down. She turned green the first time. It was a remarkable phenomenon. I've never seen anything like it. It was incredibly difficult for her body to adapt to that change in position. That is orthostatic intolerance induced by a serious injury and being in hospital for a long time. But it can also be induced by infections, by piss. So this is a test for orthostatic intolerance, but you don't have to do a tilt table. Oh, I should add, because it's just nice, it was amazing how fast my wife adapted to the tilt table work. The first couple times, she instantly got queasy and started to pass out after just being tilted up a few degrees. But it very quickly progressed after that. She was able to tolerate it much better the third and fourth and fifth time. And before we knew it, she was standing and walking a few steps before the woozies hit. And then I think probably within a week, she was able to be up and move around. So, fortunately, when you're suffering from an injury, orthostatic intolerance is relatively easy to re recover from. Not so much when you have long COVID or other pissy problems. So, where was I? Back to the NASA LEAN test. This is the NASA LEAN test. You lie down for 10 minutes. And then you stand up and lean against the wall, mostly erect, but with your heels 6 to 8 inches from the wall and your shoulder blades touching the wall. And you stay there for 10 minutes or until orthostatic intolerance is clear. That is, if you feel weak and lightheaded. So it's really, you really are just kind of leaning against the wall for a little while after lying down. This does, in fact, show orthostatic intolerance in long COVID patients. And to wrap that up, why NASA? They can certainly afford tilt tables, but low and zero gravity involves many weird effects on autonomic regulation of blood pressure, so NASA developed the most efficient POTS test that they could for their astronauts. Okay, now to the entree, treatments for long COVID that are kinda, sorta evidence-based. The diagnostic situation, but treatment, quote, gets even tougher, says Dr. Griffin. There are still no examples of truly evidence-based treatment recommendations for long COVID, but these are all at least better than speculation. They're at least a notch more than promising. So, for instance, we may not be able to treat long COVID per se, but there are some evidence-based treatments for some specific parts of long COVID, some of the sequelae, some of the specific issues that arise in many cases, like POTS, dysautonomia, cardiac arrhythmia, and sleep apnea. All of these things are often manageable to some degree, and managing them is much better than treating nothing at all. We do have strong evidence of one important thing not to do, a common source of harm that can be avoided. We can identify and avoid triggering post-exertional malaise. People with PEM do not just feel tired after exercise, they feel ill, and pushing it can make them quite a bit worse. So the evidence-based recommendation is if there is PEM, then no exercise therapy or very cautious exercise therapy. But if there's no PEM, then yes to exercise therapy. And what about that new study? This is the one that said, quote, cautious exercise rehab should be recommended to prevent further deconditioning. This is getting cited to justify pushing long COVID patients to exercise right now, trying to sustain the legacy of the bullshit PACE trial. But the word cautious is critical. This is a recommendation to preserve what fitness can be preserved without overdoing it. Dr. Griffin discussed this paper in a much more recent episode of TWIV, number 1104. Okay, let's talk about revaccination now. Revaccination for COVID seems to be helpful for some long COVID patients, neutral in many of them, and awkwardly actually harmful in a few, which makes it a really tough choice. So that's Dr. Griffin's clinical impression, but it's also backed up by a new study still in preprint. There's a peer-reviewed one from mid-2023 that's similar and generally confirms that vaccination has varied and unclear effects on pre-existing long COVID. But crucially, with enough positive signs that at the very least, long COVID patients shouldn't be avoiding vaccination, unless perhaps they are one of the unlucky ones who has a particularly rough time with it, which I can relate to. As many of you know, and all of you after listening to this, I have something like long COVID. I have had that since 2015. And the COVID vaccinations have been brutal for me. It's not obviously relevant to the fact that it's COVID because I didn't have COVID in 2015. I had a really nasty flu, which I basically never seemed to properly recover from. Classic piss. So I don't think that the COVID vaccinations are specific to whatever's wrong with me, but boy, I don't do well with them. I've had severe side effects from all of them and lasting for weeks in some cases. So I can really relate to not feeling good after revaccinating. And if I had actual long COVID instead of something that's just like long COVID, I would really be struggling with the decision to vaccinate because of those very strong and lasting side effects. Probiotics now. Maybe someday we're all going to regret our enthusiasm for probiotics, but damned if it doesn't actually seem promising. Dr. Griffin thinks that we might be getting close to an evidence-based therapy for long COVID with this, and likely other kinds of PISS patients. For instance, a cocktail of pre and probiotics called SYM01 has some fairly good preliminary support from a new trial. Quote, treatment with SYM01 alleviates multiple symptoms. It needs replication, but that's a, it's a decent looking trial. It's not nothing. It's real evidence. How do you get Sim 01, though, I don't believe the tested cocktail of probiotics is something that you can buy, but you can probably imitate it well enough. It contained, the one that was tested, three species of Bifidobacterium, Bifidu adolescentis, and Longum. The Bifidos are a bog standard genus of gut fauna, with many of the genus's species featured in common probiotic products. The formula was based on the relative abundance of those species in healthy Chinese adults, which is, probably not exactly the same as healthy adults in other places in the world, but probably also not terribly different. The cocktail also contains some prebiotic compounds and dextrin, which is just basically food for the bacteria to encourage them. So this is it's just some common gut bacteria with some snacks that they like. The dosage in the trial was 10 billion units twice daily for a few months, 6 months, I think it was. But maybe start slower than that with whatever you can cobble together from your local supplement store or wherever you buy your probiotics. The point of it, the fact that the bifidos are really common in the gut is just that even though this is a specific formula that they tested, it shouldn't be difficult to buy something similar in spirit. So this is an accessible option despite the fact that you're probably not going to find some Sim 01. And finally, the last item on the list of treatments for COVID that are kind of sort of evidence-based is melatonin supplementation. Not because it's a sleep aid, which is its main reputation, but via various anti-inflammatory properties. And melatonin is pretty innocuous stuff. There is a recent review which characterizes this as a promising option, but, quote, underexplored. It's borderline whether or not we should consider this one evidence-based, but the stuff is so relatively harmless that, no big deal to give it a try. More speculative treatment options for long COVID exist. There are a bunch of them. Dr. Griffin then moved on to treatments, quote, extrapolated from evidence, but still not evidence-based medicine. And he wisely noted that, quote, 90% of our great ideas are ultimately not great ideas. He didn't go into much detail about these, and a couple of them were too speculative for my taste. Nattokinase, for instance, that is a supplement from the slime of fermented soybeans. It's touted by some quacks to detox spike protein from vaccines. So there is a more rational case for the stuff, but it is weak sauce and probably won't amount to anything. And so on. From the long, long list of untested and barely tested possibilities, something might pan out someday, but probably only a fraction of them. And that, unfortunately, is it. That is the end of the summary of science-based options. There might be a handful of others, maybe three more that Dr. Griffin didn't talk about and that I didn't think of, but probably not much and maybe nothing if your criteria is that it actually needs to be somewhat evidence-based or at least a little bit evidence-based. We're a long way. Despite the fact that the pandemic is getting old now, what are we at? 4 years. It was 4 years ago that it started. We're still a long way from knowing how to help people with long COVID and people with other post-infection sequelae. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.